Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Really, I want to focus on mainly on verse 1 in this, and two words in verse 1. Walk worthy. Walk worthy. That's kind of the theme of this passage here. Now, I was born at a very early age, and I learned to walk after about a year or so, so I'm told. And I remember when my son learned to walk. He actually could walk before he realized he could walk. He had one of those little carts, you know, he would push around, and he was trying to get it into our sunroom, which had to go over a threshold, but he would not let go of this thing. So he picked it up, put it down, and kept walking. So, but he learned how to walk. And we obviously, everyone in this room has learned how to walk. And so, but that's really not what we're talking about here. The manner in which we put one foot in front of another, right? We're not talking about, well, he's got a gait in his walk, or we have a, you know, different stumble when we walk, or any of that type of thing. But what he means here, of course, is the way in which we conduct our lives, right? The manner in which we live, the way we live in front of other people's, our actions, our character. And there's lots of ways we can describe it. Paul is challenging the Ephesians here in their daily walk, and he tells them that they need to walk worthy of the calling with which they were called. And that's the focus of this passage that we're dealing with, walking worthy. You see, Paul spent the first three chapters, if you see a commentary, they say he's in the heavenlies. It starts off in chapter 1. He says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And then he goes on to list a lot of them. There's, I think, 10 in chapter 1. And in chapter 2, he goes on to say that unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think, describing what we have in Christ. And in chapter 3, he goes on to tell us how of the mystery of Christ is that God's desire is that all mankind would be one in Him. There wouldn't be Jews or Greeks or Italians or Gentiles, you know, that all would be one. And that Christ has broken down that middle wall that separated man from God, and that we could come to Him. And so He's laid out this grand plan of God and all the blessings that we have in Christ. And so when he gets over to chapter 4 and in the rest of the book, he is bringing it down to a practical level, right? He's bringing it to where we live. He says, okay, in light of all of this, walk worthy of it. Walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. So walk, our daily conduct. As one commentator said, worthy is living to match one's daily position in Christ. Living to match our daily position in Christ. I'd seen a movie, a war movie, and this platoon saves this one private's life, and at the end the commander is mortally wounded, and he tells the guy, earn this, this how they have saved his life is earn it. And that struck me, and I've been thinking about it, but you know, we can't earn this, can we? There is no way we can earn it. Christ has earned it for us and has given it to us. Our job is to walk in a manner that matches it, that we live it out, that to try our best to submit to Him and walk in a manner that is worthy of that calling with which we are called. So our walk is important, and it should be a worthy walk. Paul, this is something he repeats over and over again in his epistles. In Philippians chapter 1, he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come to and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In Colossians 1:10, he says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:10, he's not talking about how they should walk worthy, but kind of more how they have walked worthy in front of them. He says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you. Side note, if you look at these three worthies in Philippians and Colossians and here in Ephesians, you have three things to be worthy of. The calling, here in Ephesians 4, walk worthy of the gospel in Philippians chapter 1, and walk worthy of the Lord in Colossians chapter 1. Wow, that sounds like that'd make a nice sermon right there, wouldn't it? Mark, I'm not charging extra for that, okay? So, but that's three different things he tells us to walk worthy of. And he also uses the same pattern in, if you look in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12. Matter of fact, the beginning of this reminds me of Romans 12:1. Here he says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the Lord. And so after laying out all that we have in Christ, he sums it up and says, therefore, based on this, I beg you to walk worthy of the Lord. And in Romans, well, Romans is the great book of the gospel outlining the doctrines of salvation. He spends 11 chapters explaining salvation and our standing and all that we have in Him there. And then comes to chapter 12, he says, I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that's quite a logical argument if you think about it. I mean, if he, looking at what we have in Christ, what our salvation, it is very reasonable for us to be a living sacrifice, is it not? It's a reasonable thing that we should do. It's reasonable that we should walk worthy. It's a reasonable thing we should do. Now, with our walk, so Paul here, you see, that's a theme. He thinks so. But, you know, the world thinks so too. We've heard all these cliches, these anecdotes, but I'm going to repeat a few of them. One says, your walk talks, and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Your actions are speaking so loud that I can't hear what you're saying. Right? We've heard these anecdotes. We just have to be reminded of these things from time to time, don't we? That's what we're here tonight to do. An illiterate man one time was handed a gospel tract. He was handed, it's like, I can't read. What is this? He says, it's a tract. It's a gospel tract. He said, well, I can't read, so I'll watch your tracts. The manner in which he lives, right? His walk. And finally, the one we all heard, if you were on trial for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you by your life? Is there enough evidence to convict you? But we have a God. We have the Word of God. And if we walk in God and His Word, if we're looking at it as a walk, well, John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, I'm very fond of walking in the light, right? I mean, my brain plays funny tricks on me, though, right? When I'm walking in the dark and I go to reach for the light. Don't turn that light on. What? I know my way through this room. My hand's going, what? What's going on? Meanwhile, my feet are going, no. Turn the light on. I'm not doing this again. Turn the light. There's Legos on the floor. There's a bed over there you can stump your foot on. Turn the light on. But if we walk in the light, it's a lot easier, right? How do we walk in the light? Be in His Word. If we walk in the light, other way we're in the light, because He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And as I mentioned earlier, he's saying here, this is not a command. I command you walk worthy, even though we really should. He is imploring us. I beg you, I beseech you. That's not a word we use a whole lot today, right? I beseech thee. You know, we don't talk like that necessarily. But he says, I implore you, I beg of you, in light of all of this, walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. That love of God, 1 Corinthians says, the love of God compels us. It pushes us forward. It's what makes us do it. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again. So that's what I, like I say, just wanted to focus on, a worthy walk. He begs us to do it. It's the reasonable thing to do. In light of all of what Christ has done for us, it's the most reasonable thing to do. Now, Paul goes on here and gives steps that we can take to walk worthy. And when you look at what his goal is unity. His goal is unity. When you see in verse 2, with all lowliness of mind and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's really how you keep unity, isn't it? The way you have unity is when no one thinks they're better or in a higher position than the others, right? That's how unity has. And look at all the traits that he is pointing at towards unity. With lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in peace. So that's the kind of the steps for living a worthy life, having a worthy walk. So that's what I wanted to challenge you with today, to walk worthy, implore you, beg of you, as Paul did, in light of what Christ has done for us, that we have a worthy walk, a worthy manner of living for Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. Thank You that we can look back and see all that You have done for us. You've given us every spiritual blessing. You have made available the resources of God in our lives, and that You have the ability to do beyond we can imagine. That You have broken down the middle wall of sin that separated us from You. You have removed the barriers that separate us one from another, and that we can all come to You as one. And that's Your ultimate goal, Father. We praise You for that. Father, in light of all this, may we walk in a manner that matches that. To be worthy of this calling with which You have called each and every one of us here tonight. We thank and praise You for Your Son, in whom we have salvation, in whom we have our being. In Jesus' name, amen.